Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. So finishing up the chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 9. The main theme here is remember. So we're doing good. We've remembered what chapter this is. So we're off to a good start. But there's other things we need to remember. Primarily the Lord. So. All right. So as I've indicated, the overall outline of chapter 9 focus around these points. First six verses deal with the plan, the Lord's plan to have them go into the land, and but not because of their righteousness, but because of the wickedness of the people. Secondly, the provocation. So the provocation that occurred after the Lord, Moses went up to the mount and got the written Ten Commandments came down, and there was sin in the camp. And now in the, that's 7 through 21, and now the prayer. So this is in verse 22 through 29, the prayer of Moses as we look here in these verse 22 through 29. So what we see here is that, by the way, this is called Remember the Lord, Part 5, all right? But the whole point here is the Lord was dealing with a sinful, rebellious people. He was very gracious and merciful to them. He blessed them, and not because of their righteousness, but because of his grace and mercy. And he also worked through his appointed leader. And his appointed leader was the one to intercede and the one to be followed and so on. So we talked about that somewhat last time with concerning Moses. Moses was the appointed leader that the Lord appointed here. He was a great intercessor. As I mentioned before there in Jeremiah chapter 15, we've got a verse that brings this out, Jeremiah chapter 15. Focuses on the Moses and Samuel as great interceders for the Lord. Then said the Lord, 15:1, unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. So this is when the Babylonians would come and destroy Jerusalem. So the Lord wasn't changed his mind, no matter how much Moses would have pleaded, or Samuel for that matter. So here, these men had a testimony, ongoing testimony, about 700 years later, that they were good intercessors for the Lord. So we see that truth here. Now, in this section, verses 22 through 29, I've organized around these points. First of all, in verse 22 through 24, there is the iniquity of the people. And then in verse 25 through 29, that's to do with intercession. So the iniquity of the people and the intercession of Moses. Iniquity of the people, 22 to 24. Intercession of Moses, 25 through 29. All right, so the Lord has indicated to them his plan. He wants them to go into the promised land. He also has dealt with them for 40 years as a rebellious people, stiff-necked people. And so he reminds them of that. Now, it's interesting in chapter 9, verse 7, he says, remember and forget not. Later on, Moses, in his intercession, in verse 27, says, remember. Remember thy servants. So think of this. The Lord wants his servants to remember him. And Moses, at least, wants the Lord to remember his servants. And so there's a relationship here, and there's a relationship about remembering who we are and who the Lord is. And so we certainly want the Lord to remember us, especially in times of need. But he wants us to remember him all the time. He never has need, but he wants us to remember him all the time. And we should be remembering him all the time. And so it works both ways. All right, but anyway, we see, first of all, the iniquity. So let's read these verses 22 through 24, first of all. He says, and at Taberah, and at Massah, and at Kibroth, at the Avah, you provoked the Lord to wrath. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. So this goes all the way back to when he brought him out of Egypt. So when we have the Exodus really is the beginning of the nation. He brought him out of Egypt, the Exodus, and so on. So here he reminds them that they're stiff-necked people, they're rebellious people, and he brings up their past iniquity and their rebellion and so on. He uses four examples by name of their rebellion. So let's look at these then. So here in verse 22, he says, and at Taberah. All right, so that's the first place that he deals with. So let's look at these examples. So he's indicating for 40 years now, I poured out my blessing. For 40 years, you rebelled. And let's go over several examples here. Just to remember. To remember, all right? So first of all, we look here in Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, this is Taberah. So the word Taberah shows up two times here in our passage. So Taberah means burning. So in verses 1 through 3 in chapter 11, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Now in their complaining, they were complaining about their situation and complaining about the Lord. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. The Lord hears complaining. You know that? And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that are in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. All right, let's look at some details on this. First of all, in the bigger picture, they were wanting flesh. We pick this up again in verse 4. Right now, let's focus on this. So they were complaining, murmuring to the Lord and so on. They were complaining. The fleshly people wanted flesh. All right, and so the Lord sent some fire to the uttermost parts of the camp. So in the outside perimeter of the camp, he sent fire, and this fire was burning up people. All right, and so it says the fire of the Lord burned among them and so consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So basically, their camp had fire all around it, and people were dying from the fire. Why? Because they were murmuring and complaining. And we see more detail about this, about having to eat manna rather than flesh. But right now we're focusing on this. And so they went to Moses, and he prayed, and the fire was quenched. So here we see one example of Moses being the intercessor for this judgment upon the people. Now, it's interesting, the fire of the Lord burnt. Fire of the Lord comes up again in chapter 16 with the Korah uprising there, but the fire of the Lord. But let's notice here a parallel in James chapter 3. Notice what James says here. Chapter 3, verse 5. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So notice the parallel. They were with their tongues complaining, causing a fire with their tongues. So the Lord dealt with them with a fire around the camp. And so we see the little tongue. The little tongue. And yet it kindles a great fire. A little fire kindleth. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Coming from a little tongue, but the great matter, right? So here we see a parallel. So that's example number one at Taberah, a burning. And the Lord indicates here, you were complaining. I heard your complaint. The fire of your tongue was going forward here. So I dealt with your fire with fire. All right. Secondly, in his ordering, he now wants to go to Massah. All right. Massah means temptation. So this would be in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. And here we have a reference to Massah in 17:7 rather, and Meribah. So Massah means temptation, Meribah means strife. If you see in the word Meribah, by the way, in verse 7, pick up a little Hebrew here, but you see the R-I-B letters in Meribah. That's the Hebrew word for strive or rib. Rib somebody. What's that mean, to rib somebody? All right, so this is a participle turned into a noun, but it's got the root in there. So our word, I'm going to rib somebody. All right. Well, it comes from the Hebrew word here. And ultimately, it means strife. Now, sometimes we do it in good nature, but I mean, when it's not in good nature, that's where there's problems. Anyway, a little Hebrew lesson here, but let's move on. All right. So the chapter 17. So in chapter 17, this is the second example the Lord uses, Massah there, in place of temptation. So 17, and all the congregation, verse 1, of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. Now the word sin here means thorn. So this is not the word that is normally translated sin. This has to do with a thorn. So the wilderness of Sin is not where they sinned, all right? Although it's the same spelling, but this particular word means thorn. A lot of thorns there. The wilderness of thorns. What's that? We're in Exodus 17:1. And there's another word that shows up elsewhere. Zin, zin. That's a different word. Zin means flat, like flat land. So we've got wilderness of sin, that's the wilderness of thorns. Then the territory of Zin, Z-I-N, that's flat land. And then we've got good old S-I-N, that's with a lowercase s, and that's a regular word for sin. All right, so anyway, the wilderness of sin. After the journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, they pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. There's our chiding, or they're ribbing him. And said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. By the way, how did the people get there? The Lord led them into this trial of faith. Well, he did. He led them. He led them to a trial of faith. By the way, that's what the Lord does. He leads us into trials of faith. How do we end up in this trial? Oh, Lord, led me. All right, so he was leading them. Why does he lead us in the trials of faith? Well, to exercise our faith, or force us to exercise our faith. Anyway, verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, whereas, or wherefore, is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? So all these supernatural miracles you did just to bring us into the wilderness to kill us. And see the heart issue here? He could have killed them back there with the with Pharaoh's army. Not open up the Red Sea. Oh, he opened up the Red Sea, he could have drowned them. No, he didn't do that. He let them get through. So he could have killed them anywhere along the line. That wasn't what he was doing. But you see the perverted thinking of those that are not right with the Lord. Perverted thinking. And Moses cried unto the Lord. Now this is also an opportunity for Moses. What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. So remember that rod that you hit the river and the Red Sea actually with. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I stand before thee there upon the rock in the Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? All right, so now notice there in verse 7, Massah means tempt, Meribah means chide. And so we've got Massah, Meribah, chiding, tempting. So we've got the reverse order there. But anyway, so here's example number two. Example number two. That they rebelled. By the way, I've said here before, smiting the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock symbolized the Lord. How many times was he smitten? One time. All right. All right, so we have the second example the Lord brought up. So he says, now you remember this? You remember these times of rebellion against me? And now it's interesting. It's no issue for the Lord to take care of our physical needs. He can take care of our physical needs anytime he wants. The issue here is he wants us to put our spiritual needs first, and then he'll take care of our spiritual, our physical needs then. So seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? And all these things shall be added unto you. So the Lord wants us to seek him for our spiritual health, then he'll take care of the physical side of everything. And that's what he did here. All right, then next we move on to the next example. This is back there in Numbers 11 again. Numbers 11. And here then, in the place of Kibroth, Hattaavah, which means graves of lust. Graves of lust. Kibroth means is the word for grave there. And then the last part, lust. Graves of lust. So those who lusted after flesh ended up in graves. All right, so back here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4 and following, and here we have another account of their sin. rather than the water now, they're wanting flesh, but this fits in with the first three verses we looked at. But in verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Now, the mixed multitude would have been perhaps some Egyptians and other hangers-on that wanted to go with the Jews and so on, but they went with them, but they're the ones who started it all. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? So remember now, bad company will take you in the wrong direction. Take you in the wrong direction. So the mixed multitude. And so rather than the Jews saying, we ought to obey the Lord and trust him and so on. No, the mixed multitude took them in the wrong direction. And they said, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. No doubt right out of the Nile. freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Now the Lord is the one who gave them the manna. He's the one who gave them the manna. And the manna was good for them. He gave them manna for 40 years, by the way. And it didn't cease until they got into the promised land. But he's the one who gave them the manna. Something from heaven, but they'd rather something from earth. And we see their rebellion, their attitude, their dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction with anything the Lord gave them, but their satisfaction for the things of the world. And here we just see the carnality, the walk in the flesh, and so on. So they wanted the flesh. And so there's a little description of the manna here. And it talks about the taste of fresh oil and so on. Now, all this prompted Moses to want some help, and so the Lord gave him some 70 elders to help him out with all this. And so this is part of our interlude in this section here. But let's pick it up now in verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For you have weaponed the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? All right, and so the Lord was going to send them flesh. You want flesh? We'll send you flesh. So now we pick it up in verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. So apparently a day's journey on both sides. All this quail, two cubits high, that'd be what, 36 inches, 36 inches. So you want flesh? You got flesh. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails, and he that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted, and the people journeyed from there and on. So here he gave them this. Now this is remembered by the psalmist in Psalm 78. So in Psalm 78, and this is a summary of Israel in the wilderness primarily. So let's look at Psalm 78, verse 26. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while Their meat was yet in their mouth. The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them. So the one that was just cramming it in. And smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned yet, sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Think of that. He allowed them to consume their days in vanity. Just an empty life. Running around in circles doing nothing. Consuming their life in vanity and in trouble. I would think most people would want to have some goals in life and try to accomplish some goals rather than just spinning around like a wheel or something and consume their lives in vanity. So this is condemned. Now let's notice another passage here, Psalm 106. Here, once again, same scenario here. Verse 14 says, "But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." Think of that. Okay, you got all the riches you wanted, all the things of life you wanted. And how does this benefit you? How are you filled with all the benefits, the riches, the wealth, the glitter, whatever you're seeking? How does this impact you? Well, he calls it leanness into the soul. The things of the world bring emptiness. They really do. They bring emptiness. But people search after these things. If I can just get this, just get that, get this and that, and so on, I'll have fulfillment. And when you get it, what happens? This gives me no fulfillment. And goes on, verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. So here we find one verse says Aaron was a saint. So here we have Saint Aaron. But they envied him. So anyway, so the Lord is saying, I've got some examples remembering what you did in the wilderness, rebellious stiff-necked people. So remember, I'm not bringing you into the land because of your righteousness. I'm bringing you into the land for you to destroy these wicked, wicked people, Canaanites. And his fourth example is there at Kadesh Barnea. We already looked at that in chapter 1, but now while we're in Numbers, we can look at Numbers chapter 13. Here's a passage. We've gone over it several times, but remember there, Kadesh Barnea, the spies were sent out. This is in Numbers 13, verse 26 and following. They were sent out, and they were to come back with a report, but they had an evil report. Caleb, in verse 30, stilled the people and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men went up with him. "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." So here they brought that evil report. And so here we have Caleb and Joshua. They said, "We can do it." They walked by faith. The others walked by flesh. "We can't do it. I'm trusting in the flesh. All I want is protection of the flesh. I'm not interested in doing the Lord's will. I'm just interested in protection of the flesh." And so they rebelled. At unbelief. So four examples here of their iniquity. Taberah, burning. Massah, temptation. Kibroth Hataava, graves of lust. And Kadesh Barnea, when they were involved in that holy wandering. Remember, that's what the word means. And yet they disobeyed the Lord's commandment there and didn't go into the land. And so this takes us back there to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Remember our passage there in Deuteronomy 1? Deuteronomy 1. 1:2 says, there are 11 days journey from Horeb, Mount Sinai, by the way of Mount Seir, unto Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea then was where the spies were to go in, and then from that southern border they were to go into the land. So within a very short time, after 11 days, they could have gone into the land by faith and conquered it. No, they won the 40-year journey. They went the 40-year journey. 40-year journey, it brings about death and destruction and heartbreak and so on and so forth. We could have been in there in 2 weeks, but no, we won the 40-day journey. So, how many people are on the 40-day journey? 40-year journey. It's 40-year journey. Yeah. How many people are on that journey? All right, so anyway, we see the iniquity. Secondly, we see the intercession. So here we have the intercession, verse 25 through 29. 25 through 29 in chapter 9. So, verse 25, thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. So this looks like a second period of time of 40 days for Moses. And he's falling down in a prone position and because the Lord said he was going to destroy the people. And so he's praying for them for 40 days, 40 nights, in a prone position. we notice in the New Testament, Luke chapter 22, when the Lord was in the garden, he kneeled down. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was stoned, right before he died, he kneeled down and prayed for his offenders there. He's picturing the Lord there. Of course, the Lord as well. He prayed for his people and so on, John 17. We looked at that passage last time. But notice, first of all, the position then of his intercession. He was prone, fell down before the Lord for this period of time. Secondly, his prayer. Notice in his prayer, verse 26 through 29, said, I prayed, therefore, unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not the people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of the land, or out of Egypt with a mighty hand. So first of all, his request was, destroy not, don't destroy. And secondly, you have redeemed these people. Don't destroy them, you've redeemed them. Thou hast redeemed them, or bought them with a price, the idea. And so here's the request. Don't destroy them, he asked. Secondly, in verse 27, not only his request, but now remembrance. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor their wickedness, nor to their sin. All right, now, a mention here about Abraham. So, of the three sons of Noah, the Lord decided to go with Shem. And then, out of the offspring of Shem, he decided to go with Abraham. So he made this decision. Wasn't on the goodness of Shem or the goodness of Abraham. He had to make a decision. He had three choices originally, and so he made the one choice. He chose Shem and then Abraham. Once he made a unilateral covenant, it's a one-way covenant with Abraham. This is what I'm going to do. It's not bilateral. I'll do this if you do this. I'm going to do this, period. Unilateral. Because I've chosen you. And I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and all your seed. All the biological seed of Abraham, and then all the spiritual seed of Abraham. I'm going to bless. And so I'm sticking with this covenant. But now, you see, Moses is going to the Lord and saying, Lord, remember thy servants. Remember Abraham. You made a covenant with him. Remember that, Lord? Of course he remembers. See, he wants us to bring up his promises because he's good for his promises. So, if you know some of the promises, you can pray to promises because he's good for his promises. David said this, remember there in Psalm 119. He's giving a strong command to the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 49. 49, he says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So he's commanding the Lord, Lord, I want you to remember your word. Well, Lord, I'm not going to forget his word. But David is saying that because David remembers the promise. And so the Lord wants David then to hold the Lord accountable because the Lord is good for his word. We don't always like accountability for our word. But the Lord's always good for his word. And so, I've mentioned this before, but, you know, if we're on our deathbed, we might be praying, Lord, remember the verses. Remember the verses about believe on the Lord, trust the Lord. Remember those verses, Lord? I remember them right now because they're important to me. You remember them, Lord? You promise. I'm trusting you for this. Of course he remembers them. But that's what he wants us to do.
Amen.
That's what he wants us to do. Amen. All right. So anyway, here we see the request without a remembrance. And so we're looking here. Notice then in this, as the Lord had made a covenant, see, covenants are important. Covenants need to be maintained and lived up to, and so on. So, for instance, when people join our church, we enter into a spiritual covenant with them. Spiritual covenant. So, if you enter into a spiritual covenant, it should not be broken. It should not be broken. And so, Lord entered into a spiritual covenant. He didn't make Abraham sign a dotted line, and Lord didn't sign on a dotted line. It was a spiritual covenant. Likewise, when people join our church, they don't sign on a line. They don't make sign a pledge card or something like that. Spiritual covenant. We need to be careful that you don't break spiritual covenants.
Amen.
All right, so the Lord remembered. Now let's notice here in verse 28 and 29, the reproach. So we have in his prayer the request, the remembrance, and then the reproach, possible reproach here. Lest the land whence thou broughtest out say, well, that, what land was that? Egypt. So basically it's another way of saying, lest the Egyptians say this. Lest the land which thou broughtest us out say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. So Moses doesn't want the Egyptians to say this. In other words, that the Lord is incompetent. He promised them the promised land, and he can't even get them into the promised land. And more than that, he hates them. And more than that, he's going to kill them. Now, that's what the Egyptians were hoping. See, they were hoping, okay, so all these plagues and so on, maybe we can diminish them a little bit because the Lord, you know, he's incompetent. Of course, the Egyptian knew their magicians were incompetent, but Moses didn't want this reproach upon the Lord by the Egyptians. See, the Egyptians, had they forgotten about the Red Sea deliverance? They were remembering it. Pharaoh's chief army went out there and it was destroyed, 600 chariots. We remember that. Now where are the Jews? Where are they now? Oh, they're wandering around for 40 years. Look at that, they're wandering around. What's going on here? They're delivered from us. Now they're wandering around for 40 years. And so they had a skewed idea about who the Lord was. But Moses didn't want them to develop even more a skewed idea. And secondly, in verse 29 then, he goes on to say, yet they are thy people and thy inheritance, which thou broughtest out by a mighty power and by the stretched out arm. So here, the inheritance. Lord wasn't incompetent, but he did have an inheritance. No incompetence of the Lord, but an inheritance of the Lord. And this takes us back there to Exodus chapter 19. Remember what he said there to the Jews. See, we have to remember because he wanted the Jews to remember. But there He says there in verse 5, 19:5, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice," see, this is a bilateral covenant. "If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel." So they said they were open to that, but then they sinned along the line. So anyway, we see the great intercession. Now once again, in the intercession not only for the people, but also for Aaron, let's look at one other place here in Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Here we find Moses' intercession. He interceded for the people. He interceded for Aaron. And there in his intercession, verse 31, so Exodus 32, 31, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people hath sinned a great sin, have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." All right, so he was willing, at least he said the words, be blotted out, the book of life. Of course, those that sin and don't meet the conditions of salvation will be blotted out. Moses already met the conditions. But anyway, we see his urgent prayer here, his concern for Aaron and for the people. All right, so as we go through here then, once again, the Lord works with fallen mankind to accomplish his purposes. And he works through the leader and expects obedience. So a rebellion against the leader is rebellion against the Lord. And the people, as they rebelled against Moses, especially, then they got into great trouble here. So good biblical lesson for us. Our Father, we pray you bless us now. Thank you for this time that we have to open the Word of God. Bless and help us, we ask. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.